Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Waller is all by himself. He'll never score an easier touchdown. Eighth catch so far for Darren Waller.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
To the back it comes again, and a shot. Score! 3-0 on the toss by Shattenkirk.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Just get the play away. I'm going to pitch it to Rishard. Remember, he bumbled in this area before. Stays in with a touchdown. Makes up for the fumble earlier. Jalen Rishard for the score. And the Raiders expand on their lead.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Tuesday afternoon.
What is happening? How's everybody doing?
Happy fall, everybody.
It is officially fall.
Fall back.
Has that sunk into you yet?
No, fall doesn't really sink in ever.
It'd take a while.
No, Halloween is about as fallish as I think, and then winter hits. Fall's kind of an irrelevant season to me.
You go straight summer to winter, huh?
I kind of do,
skip over one of the seasons?
I mean, I notice the orange and yellow leaves. I notice what the ground looks like. Yeah. It gets a little more wet, but largely here, September, half of October, sometimes all of October, we have pretty decent weather, so fall's not really a big deal to me.
Notice the sun goes down a little sooner.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man, I need some more daylight. Why is it dark so early?
It's a little more crisp at night, in the morning.
Yeah, you go outside in the morning, you can feel it. That hit me the other night, like 2-3 weeks ago. I was trying to play a twilight round of golf, and we could not finish.
Yeah.
Like 4 o'clock tee time. You're used to that all summer where you can get 18 holes in. You're good. Yeah. You finish. Like, it stays light till like 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And I don't, my internal clock's off because I think not watching college football doesn't feel like it's fall yet.
Well, that and we didn't see the sun for a week and a half because of the fires.
Well, it was like, you know, 16th holes, pitch black. People were like driving off of the golf course. Like, what the hell happened, man? Summer's over.
I have a,
this sucks.
I'm trying to get a tee time for next Monday. And out at Stone Creek, and I looked at their twilight, and their twilight starts at like 2:55, 3 o'clock now, and I was like, "Oh, that's
early, man."
Oh yeah, the sun's going down, so I'm trying to get one.
You got
to
be done probably at this point by like what, 7 o'clock?
I think at latest, yeah. So I'm wondering if I can get 18 if I start and get a 3:30 tee time.
No. Unless there's nobody there.
You don't think it's possible?
Unless the course is absolutely wide open, I do not think that that's possible.
I think I could get done by 7:20 and be okay.
Okay.
But that's also assuming...
You're not going to see much the last couple of holes. I'll just warn you on that one.
Well, I've already played at that course and lost daylight on the last two or three.
Just keep going. Just keep hitting it. Like, whatever.
We kind of did speed golf the last three holes. We called it good. We were all playing terrible and we said, let's just get through these three holes. The last one, I couldn't see my tee shot. Yeah. And then we were walking down, couldn't even see 15 in front of you.
You're just kind of hoping and praying that you hit it in the fairway and you're walking on the right path to find your golf ball.
Or, you know, since you're doing speed golf and not counting it, you drop one and, oh, I found it.
Sure, right there.
You lose the second shot, too, because you don't know where it went.
I'm pretty sure that tee shot landed in the middle of the fairway right about the 150 stick, and I bet this approach shot's going to be about 5 feet from the pin.
Yeah, it's here, man.
It's officially fall. We got all the Halloween stuff up at the house. The wife is off yesterday and today. She got it all decorated. I came home yesterday, and it's like the fall stuff was out already, some of that. But now it's officially like spooky.
It's pumpkin spice season.
We're full in pumpkin spice season. I came home yesterday. The smells are different. The candles are out now. It's just, I'm not quite ready for it. I don't know why. Although the quicker that fall gets here, the faster the 2020 is over. So I should be excited that things seemingly are going very fast, but I don't know. I don't feel quite ready for fall yet. I don't know why I didn't feel like I got enough squeeze out of summer. I'm not ready to let it go.
That's an odd thing to say. I thought summer went really long this year.
You thought it went long? I thought it flew by, man.
Well, I mean, it went quick, but also felt like it went slow. Does that make any sense?
A little bit. I feel like that's been all of 2020. I saw somebody post a meme the other day that said January, February, quarantine, October, November, December. that's kind of how the year felt, didn't it?
Yeah, it is. Let me ask you this in a sports note with fall, right?
Okay.
College football is kind of back.
Yes.
We're still having games postponed and not all the conferences are playing, but it's kind of back. The NFL has obviously been underway now for 2 weeks. Golf is going on and the NBA is wrapping up in late September. You talk about weird. We would be getting ready for the NBA and talking about training camp opening like right now.
We would, yeah.
About how, hey, by mid to late October, the season's going to tip off. What are the Blazers going to be?
What was their offseason like? Who did they draft? We would have known all that.
Swag would probably be telling me every random day from now between November about some Dubai tournament and how golf doesn't stop. Sure. It just keeps going.
No, you'd be getting all the notes right about now on the Portland Pilots basketball team. That's what you'd be getting because their training camp would be right around the corner too.
Well, I mean, I think it still is. They're going to bring it back in November.
That's true.
Yeah, they're looking at starting the week of Thanksgiving is when college basketball is dialing it up.
They're about a month later than usual, right?
And it looks like half of the college basketball world is headed to Orlando for the month of December.
Did I read?
They're doing a bubble.
They're doing all of those tournaments that you see around Thanksgiving time into December. ESPN owns a ton of them. They own and operate them. And so they're going to basically just use once the NBA's done in Orlando, they're just going to bring all the teams in there and run those tournaments in the Orlando bubble.
Did I read correctly that they moved the Maui Invitational to like Indiana?
No, it's somewhere in North Carolina.
Okay. I mean, that's not any better.
Well, I saw a headline. Yes. I was like, Indiana? Like, imagine being all excited that your team's in the Maui Invitational and you got to go to Indiana.
They're going to Carolina.
In November? Oh, God.
I think that about sums up 2020. The people who want to actually go watch college hoops and go to Hawaii are now being emailed and told today, if you're still interested, we're going to North Carolina.
I'm assuming they will make sure to bring all of those teams back to Hawaii at earliest availability.
Well, I'm trying to, like, you mentioned, like, what the normal sports calendar would look like. It is in an alternative universe. It would have been interesting to see how the Blazers did last year and who their lottery draft pick would have been and what they would have been doing to get ready for the year. But I am like trying to, on the squeezing every ounce out of something, I'm doing that right now with sports.
So am I.
Like, I am trying just every night when I get home to enjoy every moment of, like, Dusty was tweeting me last night because I was tweeting about the hockey game. He's like, dude, you can't do that during Monday Night Football. It's like, man, Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
I don't know how long this series, it could be over in 5 games. We don't know how long it's going to go. It could be done next week. And then I don't know when I'm going to get to watch hockey again. Like, we just had a report today, Adam Silver saying maybe January for the start of the NBA season. Like, that's a long ways off, man.
Oh, I think they're going to start on Martin Luther King Day.
Right. So who knows when the hell we're going to get a chance to watch the NBA again. So, like, football is going to be there. College football is going to be there. The NFL is not going to go anywhere. So you'll always have that at least to fall back on. But I'm trying to soak every ounce of sports in it while I can until it's just football, and then we'll dive completely in, but enjoy it because we're not sure when these seasons are going to start again.
Yeah, so you might have hockey and basketball delayed, and then baseball. I'm assuming baseball with their bastardized season of 60 will be a normal time. Yeah,
that's the goal.
Their bubbles in the World Series is supposed to be done by October 28th.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll still be okay schedule-wise. They usually wrap up early
October anyway.
Well,
they're going to get rid of in the earlier rounds of the playoffs because they're all going to be in the bubble. There's no days off.
Yeah.
I love that.
You just turn it and burn it, baby.
It kind of is what it is.
You don't need 3 days off in between a game. Go play.
Well, I hope this is kind of a, you know, maybe a wake-up call a little bit for the NBA. It's like your playoffs go so much better when you play every other, you know what I mean? Like every other day instead of having
that.
2 games, 4 days off. Like Miami and Boston did that, but that was to allow the West to catch up.
Yeah.
They moved to Wednesday. Now they're like every other night they're going to trade off East Finals, West Finals, NBA Finals. And I've always hated the way the NBA does their playoff format. 7 games in the first round is stupid. Taking 2 weeks damn near for every round is dumb to me. I hope this is a bit of a wake up call. I doubt it will be, but I would hope it is.
It's a great, having a sense of urgency is nice and not falling off the radar of sports fans. Because when you have series that maybe some people aren't too interested in, if you go like 2-3 days off in between without playing, I'm going to forget about it. But if you're going every other day, I feel like I can plan my schedule around it. Like, oh, that's right. Coming up tomorrow, you got another game. And you just kind of get used to it. There's a sense of urgency this year, and I like it.
If football did not start on time, if they would have delayed this and they wouldn't even have started by now, do you think it would feel like fall to us?
No.
I think football is a huge part of that.
It's not having college football on the top of my mind is a big reason why it doesn't feel like fall to me.
Yeah, that's probably it for me,
like,
too.
We're like almost a week away from it rolling into October, and I'm going to wake up that morning and be like, what the hell happened? When did October get here?
Yeah.
And I think not having college football is a big part of that.
Well, here in the Pac-12, we might be out for a while.
You know, we might not be playing until November.
November,
man.
7th.
We got a little time.
Woo! We're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, the Mountain West is coming back, though. Don't worry.
The Mountain West is coming back.
They got it dialed in.
The doom and gloom of the Pac-12 fans are, they're out in full force today. So we'll dive in, give you the update on what the Mountain West is and what that means maybe for the Pac-12 as Thursday is their expected conference call. Deion Sanders is now a college football head coach.
That he is.
We're going to go to Jackson, Mississippi for the ticker.
Oh, we're going to Jackson.
Yeah.
I never thought in a million years we would do a ticker stop on Jackson State football, but you know, here we are.
Me either, nor did I think that he would be hiring Terrell Owens and Warren Sapp for his coaching staff.
His staff is unbelievable.
Why would you go to any other college? I'd rather just go play for those guys than go to Bama.
Now what the hell, man? Give it a shot.
So we'll go to Mississippi for the daily ticker. We'll also go to New Orleans. Drew Brees looks old, which is something we can get into coming up here in just a second. We got NFL True or False. LeBron had some MVP comments over the weekend. A follow-up on the Anthony Lynn comment regarding Justin Herbert yesterday, maybe a little more context about, hey, he's a backup for a reason. Mm-hmm. I know that didn't sit well with a lot of Duck fans, so we'll give you a little context to that. And the Van text line is 503-250-1080. We'll start with Monday Night Football. The Raiders upset the Saints. Is Drew Brees a shot quarterback? His post-game quotes certainly don't inspire a lot of confidence. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague with you on radio.com and 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Tuesday. Monday Night Football, quite interesting. The Raiders take care of the Saints 34-24.
What a tale of two games, man. It looked early like the Raiders were going to get blown out. I was close to like turning it off after the first quarter. I was like, this is a bloodbath.
Yeah, you know, to be really honest here, I missed the start of the game.
Uh-huh.
I was helping my daughter with some school stuff. And Swag sent the text, if Kamara's going to run for 9 yards a carry, it's not going to matter. And I thought, damn. When I turned the game on, it was 3-0. I'm like, I felt like it was already 20-0 the way it that felt, text read to me. But
yeah, even with the 3-0 game, for me watching it, it felt like it was 20-0. Derek Carr looked like he didn't belong on an NFL field. He looked that bad. He took a couple of sacks. He couldn't get rid of the ball. Their defense got one but they got a red zone stop to hold him to a field goal. But it was 10-0 just like that.
And you're Ruggs got open and he overshot him by
he's missing
6 yards for a touchdown.
Like, dude, this is not looking good for the Raiders right now.
Well, I saw that's about the time is when I turned it on is when the Raiders got the ball back after the field goal. And I had seen all that. And the 10-0 deficit, I don't know why I still wasn't really all that worried yet for the point spread-wise. Because of this, Drew Brees is having a terrible start to his season.
That he is, Bob.
He is averaging right now 6.9 yards per attempt, which is 21st. Last year, he was 10th at 7.9. His completion percentage has dropped 10% as well. He said this after the game, quote, well, my job is to execute the offense. My job's not to have the most air yards or throw the ball down the field most or anything like that. I think I've always evaluated myself on being a great decision maker, and so at the end of the day, I'll throw the ball to the open guy, move the ball down the field, score points, help us win football games. So his job isn't to get the most passing yards and throw the ball down the field, but his job is to move the ball down the field.
Okay.
Drew Brees. I worried about this coming in. It's why I didn't buy the Saints like a lot of people. Is he shot? Is he a shot fighter?
It looks like it through two games. I think some of it was masked in the opener because Brady was the headline of that opening game. And Brady throwing a pick six, another interception, the drop kickoff. There was just a lot of attention paid to Tampa. And we didn't really focus much on Brees. And to be fair, he didn't have to do much because his defense scored him a touchdown. And again, the special teams handed him a short field. So there wasn't a lot asked of him in week one. He did not look good last night. And in moments of that game when they needed to get the offense going, because Oakland, after that horrendous start, basically it felt like scored on every drive the rest of the game. I think they went on a stretch of like seven of their eight next drives. They were able to put points on the board, and that really got put some pressure on the side of New Orleans. But there was a stat that said after the first quarter until, you know, one of their last drives of the game in garbage time, he had only attempted two passes longer than 6 yards down the field. Now, there's some truth to what he's saying about being smart, taking the check down, and I think there's a lot of quarterbacks that could learn from Drew Brees in that regard that need to develop that trait in their game, because sometimes you need to take what a defense gives you. But when you're not able to push the ball downfield on a consistent basis, or at least have the threat in the back of your mind for the defense to deal with, that you have the ability to do that, it's just going to be so much easier to defend him. And they got a ton of weapons. Kamara's great. Thomas is eventually going to come back. Like, they got great skill position guys. But if you defensively know, like, this guy can't push the ball 40, 50 yards down the field and they can't blow the top off, you're going to be able to suck guys up towards the line of scrimmage, and it's going to make it easier to stop them. So if I'm a Saints fan, I'd be really concerned right now.
Is there a bit of a 2015 Bronco element here where they could keep going and maybe eventually he just doesn't look like his arm can make it, and they look at a Jameis or Taysom Hill situation to you? Or do you think this is something where, unless he gets knocked out with a hit or something, they're just going to accept that this is who he is? And look, they still have so much talent. They can beat a lot of teams in this league. I don't doubt their ability to make the playoff, but in terms of winning the Super Bowl, it was funny, Greasy and Riddick had mentioned on the broadcast very early in the game, the Raiders were punting. And I can't remember who it was, but one of them said, yeah, you know, the Saints, and they want to be led by their defense, which is a new thing now, and not their offense. And then their defense proceeds to just get torched two possessions later the rest of the way. So I don't know how much you really trust in the defense of them versus what the Broncos had in 15. But I don't think it's a far stretch at all to kind of wonder aloud, is this the new 2015 Peyton Manning and Drew Brees? Just the difference is Denver's defense was better than what this New Orleans defense is.
It could be. I think New Orleans defense is better than what they showed last night. They just had one of those games. Malcolm Jenkins against Waller is a tough matchup, and Waller was really the driving force for everything they did. I mean, you look outside of him, nobody else had more than three catches. They just kept going to him, and teams will figure that out a little bit, that they're going to throw the ball his direction. Jacobs had a good night, but they held him to 3 yards to carry, and he didn't have longer in a run of 14, and their stretch of not giving up 100-yard rushing attack continued, I think, now 45 games. So I think this defense is good enough to carry them the majority of the season. You're just going to have to get really creative offensively or lean on a defense completely shutting a team down. It just makes winning that much more difficult, because if Brees looks like this early in the season, we're 2 weeks in, it makes you wonder what it's going to look like 2 months from now. There's been a sense in the past where, you know, he's breaking down as the season goes on because he's getting older and he just doesn't have the miles on his arm anymore. But he was always good early in the year, and he didn't look like an old quarterback in week two or week three. The fact that he's already there now, it's concerning about the long-term nature of their season. I'm not ready to punt on him yet, though, because I do think their defense is that good. I think they have the skill position players to keep him around. Kamara's one of the best backs in the NFL, so they're going to be relevant all season long. It's just going to be a tougher hill to climb with a quarterback that can't push the ball like he used to.
Well, and on the flip side, one, how much of it was the Vegas impact? I know these are players that are coming from New Orleans, and New Orleans is basically a Midwest Southern Vegas, but Vegas is still Vegas. And part of the reason I like that was because New Orleans go on a short week. They got Green Bay Sunday night. I kind of looked the overlook aspect of this a bit. And plus, if you get into Vegas on Saturday night, you're telling me nobody went out. Everybody just stayed in their hotel room, did nothing. I wonder if the Vegas element is going to become part of the home field advantage for the Raiders, getting good teams that come in and they just don't play to what they're capable of doing. But I also want to talk about the Raiders themselves because you got to give them credit. Boy, did they execute really well offensively. Darren Waller's, boy, he really thrusted himself into that top tight end type conversation.
He did.
I think, you know, Ruggs didn't get a ton of catches. I think the speed of him can shift and change the defense a bit. You add Jacobs, Rashard there in the backfield as well and how good they are. Oakland, or I mean Vegas. I'm going to do that all year.
Yeah, it's going to take a while.
Vegas with some good weapons last night, playing pretty well.
Yeah, they did. I wonder how much of it, too. I mean, you mentioned the Vegas factor. There's always a certain mojo in moments of games. Like, the Blazers are a prime example of this. They had some pretty bad seasons over the years, but what did they always do? They always won their home opener. Why? Nobody could really put their finger on it, but you'd get... So who was the Rant Stauskas 2 years ago against the Lakers
points,
going for 24?
Yeah.
I don't think he scored 20 the rest of the season, but he lights a team. Like, it's just... There's something about that home opener. I think Vegas had a bit of that, you know, first game in a new stadium magic, despite the fact that there were no fans there. Shout out to Davis, by the way, too, because he said he's not going to go to a game all year because the fans aren't allowed in, and he lived up to it at least last night. He was watching it like the team headquarters, so that's got to be tough for an owner to not be at the first game in a new stadium, but he wants to stand with the fans. They looked really good as the game went on. It was a big night for Derek Carr because he looked awful early, and then he settled into the game. Darren Waller was his security blanket, and he went to him early and often, and that got a lot of people, I think, off his back. There's been this, you know, push from him to say, give me the respect, show me some respect, stop, you know, disrespecting my name. But there's a prove it factor, right? Like, you don't want people to doubt you as a starting quarterback in the NFL. You don't want people to question, are you good enough to lead a team on a playoff chase? Go prove us wrong. And he did last night. Three touchdowns, no picks, took a couple early sacks, but was really efficient. He pushed the ball downfield. You mentioned Ruggs, his ability just to have that thought in the back of the mind of a defense that he's quicker than you and he can get past you. So you got to respect him going deep. And Josh Jacobs is one of the best young running backs in the NFL. They got a great nucleus of offensive players with mixed with a head coach that knows how to get those guys open.
Yeah, Ruggs had – it was Ruggs late, right, that caused the pass interference call that basically sealed the game for him.
Yes.
So you got that. You Swag mentioned.
Which was a dumb penalty, too. You didn't need to do it. He overthrew him.
DBs do that sometimes, and man, it drives me nuts. It's like you're step for step. The ball is clearly overthrown. I don't know. It's the hooking. It's this the instincts to slow somebody up.
I'd rather make him make that catch than hand him a free first down with a penalty.
Carr still frustrates me, but I will give him this credit. He is right on track to having a phenomenal year, and Gruden gave him a shout out last night, says he's a great quarterback. His completion percentage is up there. I think it's 74%, if I'm not mistaken.
He was 28 of 38 last night.
Four touchdowns. He's got no picks. He's got two fumbles and one loss, but for the most part, I'm still a little shaky on him, just tad.
Sure.
I think he's a good quarterback, but he had some throws I didn't like, and they put the ball in the wrong spot. So we'll see what he is going forward, but how about the Raiders? 2-0 on the year.
There's a prove-it factor now with the Raiders because I was kind of high on them coming into the year. They were one of my AFC sleepers. Their next three games are against the Patriots, the Bills, and the Chiefs, or next four. Pats, Bills, Chiefs, Bucks. Those are their next four games. So this was a nice win. They're 2-0. It's a great start. I think they're one of 11 teams that are 2-0 in the NFL. They look the part. Now there's a prove-it factor of can you take that jump from being an okay below 500, what were they, 7-9, whatever it was last year, to making a jump to being a real noisemaker in the AFC, and you need to go at least 2-2 in these next four games. You go better than that, then people are going to start believing.
Our two stops on the ticker is the first one's in New Orleans. Is Drew Brees shot? How worried should Saints fans and the Saints organization be with that? Rod Walker will join us from NOLA.com, and then we'll go to Jackson, Mississippi, where Deion Sanders is now the head coach of Jackson State, and boy, did he get an introductory press conference if I've ever seen one. Noah Newman will join us from Jackson, Mississippi. We'll do the Daily Ticker next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, I may not be the biggest believer in Drew Brees. I do think he looked like a shot fighter last night, but let's see what Rod Walker, sports columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, thinks on Twitter, at Rod Walker NOLA. Give him a follow there as the Saints fall to the Raiders. They get ready for Green Bay Sunday Night Football this week. Rod, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland, my man. What are just your general takeaways from seeing Drew Brees last night? I don't think he leaves a lot of people optimistic about what he is right now in week two. What did you make of what you saw from the veteran quarterback?
I thought it was pretty rough to watch. Drew's a guy who's sort of always been known for his accuracy, and just, some of the passes he threw last night were just really, just unbreathed, like, I guess would be the best way to say it. We just haven't really seen that from him. I mean, he's had some games where he kind of struggled. And the thing that's most disturbing is this is, second week in a row. Last week against Tampa Bay, the offense wasn't great. He wasn't great. He called himself awful last week. And, so you look at his numbers last night. I mean, it doesn't look bad. I mean, he was 26 or 38 or something like that for, he threw a bunch of yards. But, I mean, you look at that interception he threw at the end of the first half, which really sort of swung the game, I think, the other way. And there was no coming back, it seemed like, after that. They just went into the tank after that and just really stuck it up. So, there's definitely definitely some reasons to be concerned, I would say.
Yeah, one of the reasons we've heard from folks about why he has not looked good is the lack of his top wide receiver and Michael Thomas. So I'm just curious how much you chalk it up to that, and then what is the latest on Michael Thomas, and when can we expect him back in the New Orleans offense?
And that was one of the questions I asked Drew last night, just how different was this without Mike? And, he didn't use that as an excuse to his credit, but I think that we've seen, Michael caught 149 passes last year, and he's a guy that Drew obviously relies on heavily. I mean, Mike makes up, 36% of the passing offense, I think, last year. So he's a guy that he definitely depends on. As far as his status, we don't really know. The Saints didn't put him on IR, which makes you think that, okay, maybe he'll be back, within the 3-week time frame, but maybe the Saints are just doing that just so other teams will be thinking, okay, so other teams can prepare for Michael Thomas, even if he's not there. But I don't know if that was the issue last night. I mean, I think Traquan Smith had a really good game. He had 85 yards receiving, and, they've been kind of wanting another guy to step up. And I thought Traquan had a decent game last night. And, Kamara had, he did pretty good out of the backfield as well, catching passes. So, but nobody else did. I mean, Jared Cook didn't have a particularly good game. Emmanuel Sanders didn't do much. So they just didn't have it last night. And it was on both sides of the ball last night as well. So that was also a problem because the defense had played really well in week one.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Rod Walker, our guest here, sports columnist for NOLA.com. Defensively, I mean, you heard it on the broadcast. They were talking about how the defense has taken that next step, and they want to be led by their defense, not just their offense. Is it just a symptom to you that maybe some guys had a little too much fun in Vegas? I know Vegas isn't even necessarily all as open as it used to be, but maybe enjoying the nightlife a little bit in Vegas, because some of those defensive players are veterans and they just didn't look the part last night.
Yeah, I don't think they went anywhere, actually. I mean, I think they were pretty isolated according to, what we heard. So I don't think they were out partying or anything. I think they just had a really, really bad game, and they better get it together quickly because Green Bay is averaging 505 yards of offense. That's what's coming to town Sunday. So, it could get really embarrassing if they play like they did last night against Green Bay. Because this is a Raiders team that I don't think anybody thought, would score 34 points on the Saints. So they definitely need to. And it's a short week, obviously, too. So, I mean, they got a quick turnaround to try to fix all those problems. That last night, the penalties were really bad, 100 and something yards in penalties. So, I mean, they just pretty much stuck up across the board last night, and they just got to fix it, or else this season's going to be not what they expected it to be.
Well, and I'd ask you that. I'm not curious what your expectations were coming in, but it feels like everybody had them in that Super Bowl conversation. You never want to overreact to one game. It's a Monday night. They might end up going 13-3 this year, for all we know. But I'm just curious how, if at all, your opinion has changed now after getting a chance to watch them for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's probably changed a little bit, because I thought this team was going to really come out and dominate and take care of business. And this team has a really tough schedule. I mean, and the first two games weren't the toughest games on the schedule. I mean, we just talked about Green Bay. They played the Chiefs this year. I'm not as sold as I was, 2 weeks ago. But I do think they're in a division that's friendly enough that they can make the playoffs. I mean, I think they'll still win the NFC South, which will get you in the playoffs. And, it's anybody's game at that point. But, if they were in the NFC West, I'd say, nah, this team won't make the playoffs. So, it's going to be tough. I mean, they have to get together quick. But they've started slow in the past. I mean, they haven't been 2-0 since 2013. They always either lose that first game or lose that second game. And last year, I mean, it was the game against the Rams, and Drew Brees got hurt second week of the season. But, this is a team that sort of struggles. in one of those first two games. And so I think Sunday we'll know if this team is, you know, where it should be.
Well, we look forward to it. Rod Walker, NOLA.com sports columnist down there in New Orleans, our guest here on the Daily Ticker, talking a little Saints as they lose to the Raiders. Find him on Twitter at Rod Walker, NOLA. Rod, thanks so much for hopping on with us here in Portland, my man. Enjoy the season. I'm sure we'll catch up at some point.
All right, thanks. Anytime.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Rod Walker at NOLA.com. Now, let's go. This is a random stop for us. Jackson, Mississippi. Jackson State football, Dirt. They've got a new head coach, Deion Primetime Sanders. And Noah Newman of WJTV is our guest sports director there on Twitter, at Noah Newman, WJTV. Noah, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland, my man. I saw highlights and a couple quotes from Deion yesterday at that presser. Although I'm curious, was that a press conference for a new football coach, or was the president of the United States being welcomed into their arena?
You know what? It really was more like the latter. I mean, thanks for having me on, but they split it up into 2 days, actually. So yesterday was the big introduction where he rolled in a Cadillac, and they had the band playing him in, and he had the police escorts. It was pretty crazy. I thought we saw it all with the Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach introductions in Mississippi earlier this year, but I think this might have topped it. And then today he actually had his first press conference, so we were actually able to ask him questions today, but it's just been an unreal couple of days down here.
Yeah, what's the reaction to Ohio? He's obviously such a big name, and that's going to get attention on your program like probably any other coach would. Based on the people you can hire at a place like Jackson State. But just what's the reaction been? How excited are people? And, you know, how much juice is this bringing to the area and hiring Primetime?
A lot of juice. I'll just give you an idea. Essentially, our entire 30-minute newscast last night was all Deion Sanders stories, economic impact, player reaction, fan reaction. I think people are really excited because when you think about Jackson State football, there was a time when, you know, they had a rich tradition. Walter Payton mm-hmm. played football here. They used to dominate the SWAC, and now it just says everything that you guys out in Portland are talking about Jackson State yeah. football. I think that's what Sanders wants to do. He wants to make this a national brand. He was on Good Morning America today. So it's just pumped new life into a program where there's kind of been a little bit of, you know, fan apathy in recent years because their rival Alcorn State, who's coached by the late Steve McNair's brother, Fred McNair, they've been dominating the rivalry. Now Jackson State goes out and hires Deion Sanders. It's a complete game changer.
Yeah, Noah Newman is our guest here in Jackson for WJTV as Deion Sanders is hired by Jackson State as the new head coach. Before we get into the staff that he is hiring, and boy, there's some name recognition on that one. Where did this stem from? This is so out of left field for me. What is the relationship or connection to Primetime and Jackson State that maybe created this opportunity?
Well, there's no direct connection. You know, I mean, when you look at a direct connection, there's really not a direct connection. But Ashley Robinson, the athletic director for Jackson State, I'm being told that this has been in the works for quite some time. And Ashley Robinson really set his sights on Deion Sanders. And there's a mutual connection there. I can't tell you exactly who, but someone that Ashley knows that knew Deion. And Deion wanted to be a head coach in college. Mm-hmm. He said on the Dan Patrick Show earlier this year, I'm going to be a head coach in college next season. Not an assistant, head coach. So I think he was in the running for a couple jobs last year, and this Jackson State they're willing to make him the head coach right away. You know, Deion Sanders is one of the biggest superstars of all time, but I mean, it's tough to jump from high school to college head coach, but he's doing it. Jackson State's given the opportunity. I think he's really going to be allowed to run things the way he wants to run them.
Hmm. Now, I saw a report that he's hiring all sorts of, like, former Pro Bowlers and big-time Hall of Fame NFL players on his staff, and then I saw another report saying some of that, he said some of that's not true and some of those guys won't be on the staff. What do we know about the staff and who's going to be on it with him?
Well, I can tell you this about the staff. He said they're going to have a combined 84 years of professional playing and coaching experience. So that right there tells you that whoever it is, there's going to be some big-time names coming here. Now, I could tell you another thing about that report earlier today about Terrell Owens and Warren Sapp being members of this just star-studded staff. Deion came out and said, this is completely wrong. And I'm told he was furious by that tweet. Warren Sapp and Terrell Owens have come out and said, it's not accurate either. And that tweet has since been deleted. Okay. The read into that, the source was off there. Who knows? Time could tell. Maybe it ends up being right and they're just mad it got leaked. But as of now, we don't know exactly who's on the staff. but I think it's safe to say it's going to be a star-studded staff.
Yeah. I'd imagine, though, Noah, you're pretty disappointed that that's not true, because, good God, could you imagine going to Jackson State practice and you to talk to Terrell Owens, Warren Sapp, or Deion Sanders at any given moment to talk college football? Let me ask you this, though. I think it's easy to see a big name like this. I think it's a great day for Jackson State. I think this is going to be a lot of fun to follow. The concern or kind of thing you wonder aloud, though, is stepping stone. Is this a stepping stone for Deion, where maybe he's there for 2 years trying to angle for one of the bigger college football jobs?
I think that's a valid point. I think that's definitely what a lot of people are wondering right now. How long is he going to be here? That's probably the most frequently asked question I've gotten in the past few days. And he says, you know, he plans on being here for a while, but of course he's going to say that. It's really hard to tell. I think one of the factors, too, is he has a great son who's a great quarterback right now, Shador Sanders, who he coaches at Trinity High School in Texas. Shador is committed to Florida Atlantic. Now, he's a senior, so who knows? Maybe does he want to coach him? He has said that he's never been a package deal with anyone, including his son. So that's another factor that's kind of up in the air. But I think that is a concern, that maybe he's just here for a couple years. But, hey, yeah. If it is a couple years, I mean, look at the ticket sales. Yeah. Look at the branding. Look at, regardless of how long he's here, I think it's going to have a monumental impact on Jackson State.
Yeah, it'll be a couple of fun years, that's for sure. Now, a quick update just for our listeners. What is the situation for their conference in the upcoming year? If I'm not mistaken, I think they were planning on playing in the spring. And if that's so, have they, you know, released any details? And I'm assuming Deion will be coaching in the spring season.
Yes, absolutely. So number 21 will start in the 2021 spring season as the 21st head coach in program history. So 21's all over the place. Their first game is scheduled for February 19th. Okay. They have an 8-game SWAC schedule out. SWAC was really the first conference to go ahead and you know, go forward with spring football and release a conference. So Deion is going to wrap up his coaching duties at Trinity High School in Texas, and then he's going to come up to Mississippi and get to work and make his debut in the spring, late February.
Now, here we go. Noah Newman high-stepping his way into Portland, Oregon on 1080 The Fan, WJTV. Our guest here, sports director down there, is Deion Sanders, hired by Jackson State. And as Noah pointed out a couple times there, it's breed new life into a program, into a fan base, and it should be exciting to follow. Noah, thanks so much for hopping on with us, my man. We appreciate it, and maybe we'll even check in with you, see how it's going with Deion in 2021.
Yeah, it was a blast. Give me a call anytime. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there we go. Good stuff on the ticker. Rod Walker from NOLA.com talking about Drew Brees and the Saints, and Noah Newman of WJTV in Jackson, Mississippi. Deion Sanders is now the head coach.
Prime time.
College football team.
Prime time. Playing in the spring, I think, is going to be great for them, because they're going to get eyeballs. I don't know how many conferences exactly will end up playing in the spring, but Deion Sanders being on the sideline is probably going to get me to watch a couple of Jackson State games. And I think he's got a moment to capitalize here. The HBCUs right now are, you saw it in college basketball, one of the top players in the country announcing he was going to go there. You might get that same trend going in college football. You put a good NFL staff in that program. It's a place where Walter Payton went. Like, there's a chance to make a little noise for a couple of years. Who knows how long he sticks around, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun, and he's got a chance to pop.
All right, we'll talk some college football at 1 o'clock. The Mountain West presumably coming back. Pac-12, there's an update there on what they could be looking to do come Thursday. But up next, the NFL fines 3 coaches for not wearing their mask. Boy, it's a lot of money and a very interesting storyline in the NFL. That's next on The Fan. We'll dive into college football coming up at 1 o'clock. The NFL making quite the statement about coaches wearing their face masks on the sidelines.
Better wear your mask.
Vic Fangio of Denver, Pete Carroll in Seattle, and Kyle Shanahan of San Francisco. If you saw any of those 3 games, you kind of know neither of them ever really wore a mask or made much of an effort to.
Yeah.
They were each fined $100,000 for not wearing their mask. In addition, the league fined each coach's team $250,000, $350 per team coach. That leads to over $1 million in punishments. That comes a week after the league sent a memo to teams reinforcing its requirement that coaches wear face coverings over their mouths and noses at all times on the sidelines. I'd imagine John Gruden and Sean Payton potentially have big fines coming as well, as neither one of them. Nope. I mean, Gruden kept it on, but it was largely on his chin.
Yeah, Payton didn't even really seem like he was trying.
I think Payton actively tries to give Roger Goodell and the NFL the middle finger because of Everything he's endured in his career.
Yeah.
And right? Like that the bounty gate right. stuff. He was sure. suspended for a season. He was seen wearing the Goodell clown shirt that Barstool made. I think he hates him. Also, during the draft, I think they were showing he had all these competing companies like Coke. And I think Pepsi was sponsoring sure. the draft. Like he had all these little subtle signs of like, yeah. screw you, I don't care.
Trying to find ways to ruffle the feathers.
But yeah, you could be looking at two more coaches with those fines. But the NFL cracking down on wearing face masks for their coaches. Your thoughts, Andy Johnson?
I love how angry people have gotten about this. Like it's their pocket that's getting hit.
I know.
I have two takes on this. One, the first reaction, this is kind of dumb. Like these coaches are getting tested with the players. If they're testing negative, they're obviously able to coach in the game. And if they're negative, what's the need to wear a mask the entire game? That's the first reaction. I think baseball's gone through this early on. Every coach and manager, it felt like, was wearing a mask. And as the season has progressed, they've relaxed a little bit because, again, they're getting tested every single day with the players. So if the test is negative, you're in the clubhouse. All the players aren't wearing masks. There's no difference to be with a coach. So I think a lot of this is PR. You want the image to be portrayed the way you want it to be portrayed. And I think it's a bit of an overreach by the NFL, to say the least. The other take, though, that I do have, and I think this side needs to be pointed out, is that we all work for companies. And if you have a company that tells you you need to do something and you don't do it, you can't complain about the consequences, right? Like we can all think this is dumb that the NFL is doing this, but what did they come out and say after the first week of the season? Wear your mask or else. They warned every single coach, every single team, mm-hmm. like do this or else. And you had coaches that basically flipped double birds. Pete Carroll didn't try. Kyle Shanahan didn't try. As long as you're showing an effort and points of the game to wear a mask, you're going to be okay. None of them are going to wear it throughout the entire game. Again, I think it's ultimately dumb, but put yourself in the situation of if your company tells you to do something and you don't do it, you're going to have to pay the consequences.
You know, it's funny to me. One, I totally agree with you. I texted this to you last night. Like, I've taken everything with COVID seriously, and I try to be as, you know, mindful of all the new information as I can, right? We have mask wearing policies here in our hallways, but not in the studios.
Right.
You know, I abide by them. Do I think that this is a bit extreme and more for optics? Sure, probably.
Yeah.
But that being said, on your note, I do find it hilarious how upset fans, media, coaches themselves, they get about this. And the argument is always, we're coaching. I'm trying to call plays here. I'm coaching football.
Yeah.
Cool. What you think the grocery store clerk who has right. to help every right. customer in line at the check stand, you think they like communicating with a mask for 9 hours?
Yeah, 9 straight hours.
You
can't take it off.
Suck it up with your seven figure salary and wear a mask yeah. for 3 hours, 2.5 hours, whatever it ends up being. If they want to flip the middle bird, that's their business. It's their bank account.
Sure.
I just find the argument against, or, you know, how it's so appalling, I find that laughable. Like, I go to a grocery store almost every day to get a couple essentials, right? I've gone in there every day for 2-3 weeks, and every single day, they're all wearing masks. They're all still communicating. Yeah. They're not pulling it down so they feel like they can talk to somebody.
Yeah, right, tell you how much the tomatoes cost.
And how much do those people make?
Right.
Right? So it's just like, it's such a poor-ass excuse to say, well, they got to call a play. You can call a play with a mask on. You have a microphone in front of your face.
Yeah.
Suck it up, Buttercup. If you want to flip the middle bird, that's your bank account and that's your business. But the excuse making we've created for coaches not wearing masks, that's just, it's just kind of laughable. So many other industries and people that work and make middle income salaries are having to wear masks for 8 to 10 hour shifts. And these coaches can't do it for 3 hours. I mean, if it's their choice, it's their choice. But I do find it laughable. We're finding like cop outs for them.
Right. I try and go through life not getting upset about things that don't affect me. And this
exactly.
does not affect me in any way, shape or form. And so I'm not going to get upset by it. All the NFL has asked is you're allowed to take it down to call plays. You're allowed to remove it, call the play, and then you can put it back up. You have the ability to do that. They're not saying you have to wear it the entire game. You just got to show an effort.
Right.
And anybody that watched Sunday Night Football, did Pete Carroll have his up one time the entire game?
He had it was either a mask or a turtleneck, yeah,
right.
but it was never close to above his
right?
chin.
It didn't even look like he was trying. So it's like, hey, if you want to pay these fines all year, I think at some point this will come to a head. The coaches, I'm sure, will sit down with the league and say, is this really what we're going to do all season long? You're going to fine us $100,000 every week. But if you're a head coach that was trying to flaunt the NFL's policy and maybe you didn't believe what they were saying, the threats, you're going to believe it now because $100,000 is a lot of money to be out of your paycheck.
Will we, after last night, right? I'll give Peyton and Gruden the benefit because the fines, I think, came out during the game. Will we have more coaches fined after this week?
Yes, we will.
With that amount of money?
I think we will.
$100,000?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a big middle finger to the NFL.
It's one where you, if I'm a coach, I'm trying to get them to settle on a lower number. Like, hey, can we find like 10 grand, 15 grand?
No, because then they're not going to, why would you change?
I know, it's very true. 100 grand. Is,
100 grand sends the statement, doesn't it?
It does. It sent a message. There's no doubt about that.
Although, to also play the other side real quick, and then we'll go to hour two. How many times do you think during the week in these meetings they're not doing this?
Oh, they for sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's different when you're in an industry that you're getting tested every day. I understand that argument. I totally do. I get why it's dumb. It's all for PR and it's all for optics.
I think the NBA coaches wearing them are stupid,
it's
too.
It's stupid, too. You're in a bubble. You're getting tested. Like, we know you don't have COVID. You don't got to wear it, man. Right. It's all right. We understand that you're okay, but... This is the way we all have to operate. The business that you work for is able to set the rules, and that's the rule the NFL is making.
All right, we got a lot to get to in the second hour. NFL true or false at the bottom of that at 1:30. But coming up next, an update in college football. One conference is on the verge of coming back, and the Pac-12. We have an idea of what they may be looking at. We'll update you on that and what it means for the conference. We'll do that next hour, two straight ahead. Dirt and Sprague on radio.com. and Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.